Welcome back to SustainWP, a limited podcast series about digital sustainability and WordPress. I'm your host, Nahuai Badiola, a freelance WordPress developer based in Barcelona and active WordPress community member. In the original intro, I also said that I was part of the sustainability team and a Green Web Foundation fellow. But now I'm a former sustainability team rep since the team was closed and also finished my Green Web Foundation fellow. This was expected, and indeed I kept a relationship with the Green Web Foundation, as you will see soon enough. As you can see, things have changed from the last episode back in November 2023. I'm not going to expand here why or how the WordPress sustainability was closed. If you are interested on knowing more about it, I recommend you to listen to the Green.io podcast episode where Gael interviewed Nora, Chava and I, the former team reps, about how all the events went down. This podcast series has been always about sharing my journey, learning about digital sustainability and WordPress. And I've been involved on a project where I learn a lot and has some potential, so I wanted to share it with you. By the way, I was really happy to see that the podcast have had more than 15,000 listens. Pretty cool. So the project I'm referring to is the GridAware websites proposed by, yes, you guessed it, the Green Web Foundation. The project ran for almost a year. I was part of the advisory board, and as a result, I created, together with Nora Ferreiros, a GridAware WordPress plugin. But I thought that better than listen to me rambling about this amazing project, I could bring back Hannah Smith, who is the Director of Operations of the Green Web Foundation and one of the people behind the project, to talk about it. So without further ado, let's welcome Hannah. Hello, Hannah. Happy to have you back. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm going to go straight to the point. So let's start from the beginning. And where did you get the idea of creating a GridAware websites project?
Yeah, so we'd had a Carbon Aware website project in the Green Web Foundation for quite some time. Some of you might have heard, or some of the listeners might have heard, of Branch Magazine. Branch Magazine was actually one of the reasons I really wanted to come and work with the Green Web Foundation, because I kind of saw the website and thought, oh, what a cool idea. So we'd kind of had this prototype idea for a while, where we'd experimented with something similar, because what we really wanted to do was start to demonstrate to people that we could use the internet differently. That we could have an internet that could be responsive to the world around it, particularly, say, to carbon initially. But like I said, it was a very much a prototype project. It was done, it was up and running, but we always kind of knew that the code and the approach had been done in a bit of haste, a bit hastily.
yes.
A lot of room for improvement. So we were kind of thinking, all right, how can we improve what we'd already built, this prototype version of Branch? And we kind of came up with, okay, well, what would the next iteration be? And so we thought, I think we could look at something like GridAware websites, which would be the next iteration.
That's really interesting. If I recall well, we started the project as Carbon Aware, right? That was probably the first or the second meeting that you decided to change. And it was really interesting. Indeed, we had really interesting conversations about it. So do you remember when was that point where you switched, or you decided it was more interesting to move from carbon to grid? Because that's a pretty interesting pivoting.
It was a bit of a shift. Now, you're quite right. So when we wrote the proposal to our grant funder, we wrote a proposal about carbon-aware websites, because we were thinking about, oh, how do we iterate on the existing Branch prototype?
Yes.
But around the same kind of time as we had submitted the grant application, I had been doing some work on the side with Ishmael Valesco, who I met through Climate Action Tech. And Ishmael was throwing up some questions around what Carbon Aware was. Was it actually useful? Was it meaningful? Did it actually hold the potential to reduce emissions in the way that people were saying it was. That work was really, really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot with Ishmael, and I took his ideas and I said, okay, well, given these doubts and concerns that he very cleverly raised, I said, well, what would be better than this? You know, the concept of having our technology respond to the world around it is a really good concept. And I think as we move forwards in these climate crisis times, we're only going to need to be better at that. We're going to need our tech to be more in tune with living systems. So I kind of thought, okay, well, what would be the next best thing? How would we improve this? Because I always have a mentality, if you shoot someone's ideas down, at least have the decency to say what you think might replace it or might be an improvement.
Yes.
Well, it's just a little mean. So kind of came up with this idea of grid aware. Mm-hmm. So still thinking about carbon as a metric in there. But a lot of what Ishmael was saying was that if we all just went off and did carbon aware tech, mm-hmm. And carbon aware tech is basically something that finds out what the carbon emissions are in a given area and then responds. And you might respond through shifting work to a different location where the carbon mm-hmm. intensity is lower, or you might shift it to a different time of day where the carbon intensity might be lower. Mm-hmm. But what Ishmael's research made me realize, and his points made me realize, is that you can't just do that in isolation from the realities of the way that the grid infrastructure actually works. Just looking at carbon as the sole metric and the sole thing you're considering isn't enough. Mm-hmm. You need to be thinking about how the demand works, how grid operators scale up and scale down different types of energy sources in relation to demand. So anyway, long story short, I came up with this kind of concept of, well, maybe the next iteration would be thinking about things as grid aware, mm-hmm. just carbon aware. So, and thinking about how tech can not only support the goals of the environment, e.g. through the lens of carbon, but also the goal of grid operators who have a really difficult job to ensure that our grid is still resilient. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think when you work in climate and sustainability for a while, you realize that any solution that can achieve more than one win at a time is the goal you should be looking for. You know, you don't want to be too tunnel visioned about things. You need to accept that we live and work within systems.
Yeah.
So it was that work with Ishmael through CAT that brought out this concept of grid aware websites.
Mm-hmm. You indeed wrote a post together with Ishmael about this.
Yes.
For me, it
yes.
was quite eye opening because I was really sold on the idea of let's move the computational heavy stuff to or geographically or in time, and we will do much better, and it will be the future. You basically say like, this is not as simple as it sounds. It sounds like a very good idea, but it's not, because there is a limited renewable energy right now. So if we are shifting everything to that point, the grid intensity is too high and it's not going to make all the demands. I'm simplifying the idea, but it's a pretty new one for me, and I think for a lot of people. So I really like when you shift between carbon to grid because of two things. One, we remove the carbon tunnel vision in a sense, because we are still there, and I still talk a lot about it because it's so easy to just share data about carbon because you have numbers and some of them are very impactful, but it's always good to get a step back and see the whole thing. And the other part is to add the grid idea to the equation, which is pretty new, and it's a very complex idea. Indeed, it's the idea and what is behind. So I was really excited about it, and it was pretty new for, I think, most of the advisory board. I will ask you about the advisory board just a bit later. But before that, what was the main goal behind this project? Was it to raise awareness? Was it to prove an hypothesis? Or what was the main goal behind?
Yeah, so We've talked a lot about grid awareness as a concept. Mm-hmm. The idea of this project was to see what we could do around applying grid awareness to websites. And I think it's good to think of a grid-aware website as a subset or a subset of the overall grid-aware technology or grid-aware concept. Mm-hmm. We kind of wanted to see, all right, what happens if we tried to make a website grid-aware in an actually meaningful way? So avoiding these pitfalls of just saying, well, you know, we're just shifting things around. And because what we learned was actually that probably doesn't have a net reduction impact. Mm-hmm. So the overall goal was to just be in a bit of a playground, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when you work in tech, you sort of get a bit, oh, you know, you've got to deliver this thing for this client and you've got to deliver these benefits and, you know, sell these things. And what's wicked about the work we get to do at Green Web Foundation was that sometimes we do get funding to just experiment with something. Mm-hmm. So the key things that we were trying to experiment with here were, what happens if we create a website that offers up different versions of itself based on different metrics around the grid? Mm-hmm. What do we learn from that? We also wanted to produce some code that other people could reuse and experiment with too. And that was, a very key goal for the project. Mm-hmm. The prototype that we did with the original version of Branch wasn't really open source code. It hadn't been packaged up in a way that anybody could use.
Yeah, we talk about it.
So we really wanted this project to also bring other people along in the journey of experimentation with us, mm-hmm. too. And we really wanted to apply these new ideas to Branch and kind of give Branch, you know, take Branch magazine forwards as well.
Yeah.
So, have an actual case study of, all right, these are all very good ideas in theory, but if we actually apply them somewhere as well. So we had quite a few different goals. Mm-hmm. But the concept of really bringing people along on the journey with us was really important to the project.
Yeah, and that was one of the, I think, that the things that I like it the most about the project, the advisory board idea. I've never been before in one. I didn't hear that much about projects with advisory board, maybe because of my circumstances and surroundings. But where did the idea came from? Because I think it was a brilliant one. And you can expand a little bit of what the advisory board was and the idea behind it and how it came to you first.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint sort of like any exact one light bulb moment. I think it was a convergence of a number of different ideas, but mm-hmm. when you work in open source, you know that the reason why you work in open source is because people outside of you have different perspectives. And that was one mm-hmm. of the reasons why I always enjoyed working in WordPress, was that exposure to other people's perspectives. You all have a common goal, but you're seeing things from different places. And mm-hmm. those perspectives, when you sew them all together, create something that's far better and more considered and more usable. So I think as Green Web Foundation, we've always really understood the importance of other perspectives. The other thing with this particular project was we really wanted to see how other people would adopt these ideas and what they might do with them. Remember, it was an experimentation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we kind of thought, well, you know, what are the mechanisms that we have available to us to really encourage that adoption and experimentation? Mm-hmm. You can put a post on social media and say, hey, we've built this thing. Why don't you have a play? But chances are 0.001% of people are actually going to be geared up, motivated, you know, knowledgeable enough, blah, 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 to do it. Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, let's see if we can assemble a group of people that we know from our networks mm-hmm. who are A, willing to engage and give us their perspectives, but B, might be motivated enough to apply these ideas into their own open source community. Mm-hmm. So that's probably another really important thing I would share, was that we really brought people from that advisory group who we knew were dedicated members of other open source communities, specifically CMSs, content mm-hmm. management systems. So,
yeah.
So you and Nora joined us from WordPress. Mm-hmm. We had Thibaut from the Wagtail community. We had members from Umbraco. We had and we had members from Drupal as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also had like a little side quest, if I'm allowed. I just want to say, why not make it yourself really ambitious? Because I also felt that there was an opportunity to build some bridges across those people working on these other open source projects or other open source CMSs that also had an interest in sustainability. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun to see if we could have a side quest of seeing what relationships might develop or what knowledge sharing might happen when we brought those people together? Because I don't know of any other place where you've got cross CMS representation.
Right.
As well. So I thought, why not? Really ambitious and experiment with that aspect of things mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, I think I told you several times, I will keep telling you, it was a brilliant idea. I think it worked beautifully. Because the feeling during the meetings and when it was over, because we spent more or less 1 year meeting monthly, more or less, and spending like almost 2 hours, something like that. Like talking, you were presenting how the project was going, and then there was some time for us to share feedback. We also did some small groups to talk about specifics, and it was a very enriching experience. And yeah. I remember still the last meeting when we were all open to keep to informal meetings in the future, just because we were enjoying sharing that space with other people. So I think that was also a very added value.
Yeah, I was like absolutely delighted with how people responded and reacted to being invited. I think actually everybody I asked if they wanted to mm-hmm. join in on this said yes. Yeah. We also met some new people, didn't know Jana or Christina from the Drupal community at all. Mm-hmm. And we should also mention as well for the listeners that the advisory group also had representation from a number of other different freelancers as well.
Yes.
And some other people that weren't directly affiliated with a specific open source CMS, but that are generally good eggs.
Yeah.
Different kinds of forms of digital sustainability. So
yeah, I have to say, brilliant casting, and I really enjoyed a lot all the meetings. And one of the ideas, I don't know if it was from the start, but one of the ideas that we developed during this advisory board was the creation of the branch magazine, the issue 9. Was it at the beginning one of the ideas, or was just since we were advancing it and you just thought that it was, that could be a good idea too?
Yeah, it's funny that how that idea evolved, because now when I look back, I can't believe that it wasn't obvious to us that we should do a branch issue as part of this project. But it wasn't obvious to us, and it wasn't something we set out to do mm-hmm. in the initial proposal for this work. What we set out to do, we set out to deliver three things. One, this toolkit, basically. Yep. This, mm-hmm. As I mentioned, what we really wanted to do was produce artifacts and assets that other people could use and build on. So we talked about this toolkit, which had three parts to it. Part one was the open source code. Part two was the documentation around the code. And part three was like ideas or inspiration. Yep. I called it at one point a UX catalog.
Another
sort of moment. We called it a sort of inspiration deck. I don't really know what it was at the beginning mm-hmm. of the proposal, but myself and Fershad that worked on the project were very sure that we needed something to really bring these ideas to life.
Yeah.
And I spent ages trying to work out what this third thing was. I had loads of different conversations with people, and then I was like, oh my God, it's a branch issue. Like, that's what it is. How silly are we to not realize? But I will be completely honest with you, trying to redesign branch.
Yep.
And do an issue at the same time was incredibly stressful and very hard work. And we did it, but it was absolute very, very demanding to do those two things together. And that's probably why at the beginning of the proposal, I had never conceived that we would do such a stupid thing. But we did.
Yeah, because you did the whole redesign and also changing all the logic behind the carbon aware or the grid aware tool. So replacing the one that was hastily done in the past for the new one that was using the toolkit indeed that was created during the advisory board. In this case, using, if I'm not wrong, the CDNs, well, the workers of the Cloudflare and all the technical thing that I think Fershad was the main person working on that.
Fershad's amazing.
Yeah, the project went really fast considering that technical part was mainly done by Fershad. I think he had some help, but I was really surprised on how fast you were able to. And then you combined the redesign with the whole new tool and the new issue. So it was a lot of work, but you maintain all the dates. So I was surprised. And on that note, you invited us to the advisory board if we wanted to talk about our experience or anything about the Grid Aware project. And me and Nora were happy to say yes. And we started thinking, okay, what we can explain? And we really wanted to explain something practical, not only like we could make this and then that and the world will be better. We wanted to use the technology that was somehow there and expand it in the WordPress site. So we sat together and decided how we were envisioning. I was Nora telling pretty much the technical parts that we were able to do in WordPress so she could think how the design was going to be, because he was in charge of the design part. And I remember how it also escalated very quickly. Because we first say, yes, we want to write something. And then we say together, let's write something if we are able to make a prototype of something technical with good design and so people can use it after. And I started building the MVP of the plugin just for Nora to see where the settings could go and how we're going to work, and so she can do all the design, and we were going back and forward. It was like we had to start writing but we had to write the branch magazine during the developing of the plugin. It was like this was a very good idea before we arrived to the point that we have to do the both things together. But at the end, and I remember the final push being from Fershad saying, oh, this is looking good, the draft of our branch, and the code you are mentioning why probably should be on the open in GitHub, right? And I was like, yes, but not ready yet. I'm too embarrassed by the code right now to share it as it is. And it was like, I think it would be good if the code is there. So at the end, I did some refactoring and I was like, okay, this is an alpha plugin, but it's good enough to be shared in GitHub so people can iterate or see what was doing. So I will go very briefly explaining what we ended up doing. So the idea was from the beginning was to have a plugin that was pretty much plug and play. So very easy to use, because we have to lower all the barriers we can if we want people to engage with these kinds of new tools. So the idea would have to a very simple setting with the electricity maps that we didn't mention yet, but yes. Yeah, that was a key part of the whole project because we were relying on the API that they have, and they were kind enough to create a new API endpoint. They were talking together with you, with the Gringo Foundation, and it was like, okay, maybe we don't have to need an access to the whole API because they are monetizing it in somehow, but maybe you can just send us three levels of how the grid it is. It's low, it's medium, or it's intensity. And maybe this very simple endpoint could be used on plugins like the one that I was working on. Indeed, I also talked with Ryan Solim, which is part of Electricity Maps, and I was saying, like, I will build this plugin just using this endpoint. So it would be great if you are able to just release for free this endpoint, maybe cap it for X requests so they don't have to pay too much in terms of cost. And I think that the idea is still there. I didn't hear back from the Electricity Maps.
Yeah, I mean, First Shard was the one having the conversations with Electricity Maps directly, and we haven't sort of checked in with them for a while on where their thinking is. So my understanding is that there is still some stuff you can access for free, but it's not quite quite what we're hoping for.
Yeah, because the idea in the future versions was to, if that endpoint was for free, the idea was even to make simpler the backend of the plugin. Because right now, if just to visualize it easily, is the field for entering the electricity maps API key. And then there are three checkboxes where you can decide if you want the images to be grid aware, if you want the videos to be grid aware, or if you want to the fonts to be grid aware. We decided to tackle these three elements before going deeper, because images is you have to tackle them always, because it's usually half of the weight of the page is an image. So probably if you can do modifications there are an opportunity. And another one that are videos, but we were going specifically for the YouTube embeds, because they are really huge. If you just embed and you do nothing else, it's more than a megabyte. So if you have several embeds, it's like crazy big. And then the fonts is something that usually people think that is not so heavy, or there is not so much kilobytes loading. But depending on the website, is quite, it could arrive to half megabyte if you are not careful. So those were the three elements that we decided. So you could just set up in the general settings that you could every element would be grid aware or not. And the other thing we did is, like, since this is very difficult to see what let me rewind a bit. So in this case, when we are talking about grid aware websites, we are thinking on how is the intensity of the grid of the person that is visiting the web. So in this sense, it's very important for the plugin to explain how the people is going to see if they are in a high intensity grid or in a medium or a low. Because, for example, I was doing all this stuff in Spain, which we usually have a low intensity because we have quite a lot of renewable. So I couldn't see how the high intensity and medium intensity were displaying. So we had to build a preview for the people to understand. Okay, so people, when they exit from a location that they have high intensity, they will see it like this. And that was really important, because if not, if the person that is setting all these things is not able to understand how it's going to visualize in different locations, that was going to be very difficult to get them to start using. So we build it in a way that is everything is like very WordPress native, because I really like to be on top of all the all the news about WordPress. So it was just inside the edit block editor, there was like three new links that you could go and preview the things, the page. So that was one of the things that we were happy about it. Also, since there is usually pages that are more important, like a checkout or a landing page or whatever, we also added in the editor the ability to change the setting for the images, fonts, or video in that page. So maybe you want to be grid aware in the whole website, but not in your landing page or in your checkout or whatever. So you could also change it in a very granular way in this sense. And also we added a small display that when you were going to add an image and you had the image grid aware checkout, a notification of saying, okay, this image is going to be added and it's going to be displayed in a different way depending of the grid intensity. So we put a lot of effort trying to be like very didactic and try to also get easy to the person that is using it to visualize what was going to happen when. And of course, we added also a banner that was going to be in the backend all the time till they close it, saying, you just activated a plugin that is changing things in the front end based on grid intensity. So be aware. And that was all the back end part. And in the front end, the idea was to have a top bar very similar to the one that is displaying in Branch Magazine. Mm-hmm. And indeed, Nora in this case was inspired by that, because it was already pretty well designed. So we thought we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And the idea was also quite simple, just to say the intensity, the grid intensity, the location, and then have in the other part have the ability to change through the intensity, so you can also see the difference between them. So, and all the logic that was behind, pretty much I was using server-side filters in WordPress. So because one of the ideas of this project was to move from JavaScript or client-side code that was doing the first version of Branch to the servers or to the CDNs in the case of the workers. And yeah, pretty much the idea was to not to load anything in the intensity when the intensity was high, but place it a good placeholder explaining why it's not loading it, and then give the opportunity of, if you are clicking it and you really need to see it because you want it, they have this possibility. So yeah, I don't think I want to go much deeply on this, because I will leave the link to the plugin, also to the SustainWP page where I, as an example, so you can visualize it, because I think it's easier to see. And that was a pretty interesting journey for me. Because, yeah, I guess there are some similarities with your idea of, yeah, it should be a branch issue. That's a really good idea. So they are good ideas, but you don't have into account all the space that they are going to take to generate it. So, yeah, the plugin is in the GitHub. I also will share the link of it. Right now, it's still in alpha. I didn't have time to develop more about it after the Grid Aware project finished. And that's also one of the things that it's one of the learnings of these things, that if you don't have some sponsoring or some kind of project like the one you got in the Green Group Foundation, it's difficult to put the time to make these tools definitive or going forward. And I have a to-do list of really good ideas that they would like to do, but since I'm a freelancer, I have to juggle a lot of things. Right now, I cannot develop it, but it's open source. And the idea of one of the ideas of this bonus episode of SustainWP, one is explain about this super cool project, also explain about this cool plugin. If there is someone interested in sponsoring it, I would be happy to continue developing. But if there is no one with money, but there is people with time that want to continue developing, I'm super open to it. That's the idea of this kind of things. So, yeah. And yeah, I think that's pretty much the part more close to WordPress. And it was really interesting. It was this... I remember those days like working a lot, a bit more than I'm used to, maybe, because I tried to balance, but being also happy because the result was looking kind of good. And I think that there is a very good foundation for doing cool things. And I really think that the grid aware concept, it's a really interesting one. And I see benefits, even if you can discuss if running it on a server it's much more efficient than running it in a client way, even if it's similar, since you are stopping to load a lot of assets depending of the grid aware or in the grid intensity, you are already doing two things good. You are loading less data, which usually is less CO2 and energy required, and also you are exposing that that loading has an impact, and you can decide if you want to load everything, but there is something there explaining it to you that right now the grid is in intensity is high, so we are deciding not to load everything, and you maybe it's the first impact for you, and you say, okay, so this digital thing it still has some relation with the physical world, and we should maybe change our behavior depending on how the grid is. So the awareness part, I think, is also really interesting. So, yeah.
Thanks, Noah. That was really, really cool to hear you talk through all of that. Because, I mean, ultimately, you and Nora were able to take these concepts that we'd been talking about and apply them in quite a different way into a plugin that in theory anybody could use. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that we implemented the code into Branch is undoubtedly you do need to have good developer skills in order to have a play around with this. I really love what you did. I think one of the things we talked about with this project was how can we lower the barrier to entry of people experimenting here. And I think what you and Nora did was an amazing example. I'm just blown away by what you were able to produce.
I remember trying to deploy. Indeed, I deployed the worker in my own website and everything using the toolkit that First had created, because the documentation was pretty good. But I was thinking, I spent like more than an hour or 2 hours to set it up. I had to set up the APK for the Cloudflare. So people that never heard about APKs, you can ask for one APK, maybe the electricity maps that right now is still necessary, but you are going to ask to create a new account in Cloudflare. Not everyone is using CDNs, because some people just had like 90% of the traffic from the same country, so maybe it's not needed. So when I was creating the plugin and thinking on lowering as much as possible the barrier, was like, I think I have to check how I can do everything server side, and maybe we can remove one friction, the Cloudflare API and the whole setup. And yeah, at the end, I think I'm not sure if there is a parity one-to-one with the Branch, but I think it's pretty close. And I was happy to have something that is easier to set up right now. And
I mean, I think, you know, you've done some really important groundwork here. for making this possible for others and inspiring others and showing them what's possible. I mean, you touched on so many things that I could just rabbit on about all day long. But I do think, you know, one of the key things that First Shad in particular was interested in experimenting on was what happens when you apply grid awareness or carbon awareness at a CDN level or the server level rather than in the user's device using JavaScript. Because that was what the first version of Branch did. And that was the example that people were copying. And Fish has just about finished doing some testing with the good people at Green Coding Berlin. And we've actually got some really good metrics that show.
Really?
Yeah, it's about a 7% difference.
Okay.
So if you were running that JavaScript to implement grid awareness versus doing it on a CDN, we think there's about an overall 7% reduction. And that's because user devices are not particularly well optimized to do this, but CDNs are. So that's assuming that there is still energy being used on the CDN. It's not just like, oh, it's 7% off the user device. Like, we think it's actually a 7% reduction in the approach, which is pretty cool.
It is. It is. Yeah.
But as you rightly say, it's complicated to set up, and that's the trade-off. That's what we've learned, you know?
Yeah.
We can have some efficiencies. Sorry, go on.
No, I want to think that the approach that I'm using in the WordPress plugin is more similar to the one in the CDN, because everything is happening not in the client, but I would guess that it was a bit more efficient, but we didn't have data still in the last meeting we had. I'm so happy to hear that we had it and that it is pointing that probably it has some benefit. So yeah, I think that's really good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, the whole exciting thing about this project is, as you rightly said, this, for me, the kind of whole reason why you'd implement a grid-aware website or why you'd care about this is to create those nudges and that association between the fact that your digital usage does have an impact. And that's not to say you shouldn't use it, but you should use it more mindfully and consider how it could be used in different ways to reduce the impact. And the whole process of this project, working with the advisory group, developing the code and applying it to Branch, you know, doing the follow-ups with, you know, calls like this or summaries like this, is I think we have some really great potential here to raise awareness and create that link in people's minds and nudge more positive behaviours. And I think, you know, that's a massive contribution to the realm of digital sustainability, showing people what's possible. So I love that. And I love what you and Nora did, because I really feel that your work took these concepts and really inspires, you know, how does this work in practice? How would we actually tackle these for a larger audience of people? So kudos to you.
Yeah, thank you. maybe for closing up, we can point to the right tools that were generated by the project. One of them is the plugin I mentioned of WordPress, but there is also really nice and good documented toolkit from the from the project. So can you summarize what is there to for people to use?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a suite of code bases that you can use. There's one which we call the Core Grid Aware Websites Library, which enables you to set up the connection with electricity maps, which is the key data set. You've got that. There's then a separate set of plugins that are specifically for people using CDNs. So there's a Cloudflare Worker plugin and a Netlify plugin, which kind of creates a bridge between the data and your website. And then there's a third layer of things which Fish developed, which is the Grid Aware Websites component.
Yes.
So we learned loads about web components in this project too. Neither of us had one before, so that was quite exciting. And that came through and a suggestion through the advisory group as well, actually, to take that approach. So yay for the advisory group.
Yeah.
But the third thing is a kind of it's as close to a drag and drop web component as we could get it with the money and funding. And so it creates this little tool, I suppose it is quite little, this toolbar that you can put actually anywhere in the website, top, middle or bottom, that gives you then, gives the user-centered controls.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got these three layers of plugins, and each one can be used separately or integrated together. Mm-hmm. And the integration together is what you can see in our final version of Branch magazine, those three things playing.
Indeed, one of the things that I wanted to do in the next steps was to change the one that I'm using, that is not a component, it's just built by HTML and everything in WordPress, by the component. So it would be using that. That was one of the ideas. I was talking with Fish, and it just arrived. The idea arrived when I was not able to put more time to it. But yeah, that's a really good component that you can use it in any place. So it doesn't have to be a WordPress. It can be any kind of web that you just can call the web component and add it. So yeah, that's a really cool tool that to use it. Yeah,
we were pretty proud of that one. And we also have to give props to Tom Jarrett, who was the designer that worked with us on that as well, because what you see is the final version of about 60 million different iterations and versions and ideas and things, and that we were playing around with. Ultimately, I think what we ended up with is quite a bit, you know. Obviously, there's always room for improvement. I can't wait to get funding so we can do version 3.
Right.
Really, really happy with the massive leaps forwards that we had in terms of the design and the communication to the user. And yeah, big props to Tom for helping us with that.
Yeah. I really invite the listener to go to Branch Magazine or to the Sustain WPX example page to see these two. Mm-hmm. They are quite similar, the toolbox on the top bar. But yeah, I think that's pretty clean and understandable design to understand what's going on about the intensity, and the idea that you can change it to even understand better what's going on, I think is also really cool. So yeah, I think we covered pretty much everything I wanted to cover with you.
It was a whistle stop tour of the GridAware websites project in the first week, wasn't it? I mean, there's still so much we could unpack and get into, but I think we touched on a lot of the most important aspects.
Yeah, the last question would be if you think that the concept of GridAware websites has legs, and do you see it evolving in the near future? Of course, if we get some funding, I think it would. But yeah, how do you see it? I see legs on this, because I think it really makes sense to keep playing with this and see how also people react to this new information, because we are not used to go to a website and have different display options depending on the grid. This is a really, really new concept. And I think it's a powerful one. But of course, I'm biased. So I don't know. How do you see? Do you see that the project has legs or can evolve in some direction?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a story. So as we were wrapping up the project, the summary of the project, we had a power cut. I know you know this, but the listeners might not know this. I live in the forest in Exmoor National Park, and it's quite a remote place, and we have lots of trees and lots of wind. And those two things combined together mean pylons come down quite often. Mm-hmm. And so we had a power cut right as I was a whole day power cut. It's actually quite short for us. We've had them for 5 or 6 days before. Mm-hmm. But it reminded me of how we take for granted the power to power our devices. So this one particular day, my phone had very little charge on it. And I was very, very, very conscious of where my electricity was going. And it really made me think. I was like, wow, I really wish that every website was a grid aware website right now. And mm-hmm. every website I go on, I could opt to go into low impact mode mm-hmm. and have a stripped back, simple version of the site, because I know that that would mean my phone would use less energy. Yes. So not really so bothered about the wider grid right now. What mattered to me as that particular individual facing the consequences of blinking climate change, I didn't have access, ready access to power, and I wanted low impact websites. So for me, that experience came along at just the right time to remind me that, you know, we are going to be dealing with crises, with storms, with things that disrupt our infrastructure, and we need to be better prepared for it, and we need to think about our users. And I think grid aware websites really has power there to help mm-hmm. people out in these difficult times. So for me, I think there's a very practical usage that I hate to think we're going to have to need, but I do believe we will. And then, of course, you know, going back to some of the points we discussed earlier, there is right now in this immediate time the opportunity to raise awareness about these relationships and to nudge different. And when I say this relationship, I mean the relationship between what's powering our digital experiences and the impact on the environment around us. So mm-hmm. we still have the opportunity with Grid Aware to raise awareness of that relationship, and I think provide more nudges on how people could do things differently. And those mm-hmm. nudges need to come at the point when you're using something, yes. not be disconnected from that. So for those two reasons, I really am very proud of what we've done with the Grid Aware websites. I mm-hmm. think there are legs. I want to see more designers, more academics, more creative design studios, more businesses yeah. experiment with these ideas and help us build up the use cases for this kind of approach of websites that are part of a living system and not divorced from it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like, as you can tell, I'm quite passionate and quite excited by the legs that this idea has. I really hope we can work on it some more.
Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful ending. So I think we can close it here. Thanks a lot, Hannah. It was a pleasure to talk with you, as always.
Yeah, and to you, Nawai, as well, for always being such a fantastic source of inspiration and action in these spaces as well. I admire so much of what you do, and I know as a freelancer it's hard to find the time and energy for these things, but you manage to, and I think that's really inspiring for others to see as well. So.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening. I hope you found this bonus episode interesting and you want to learn more about Grid Aware websites. Remember that you can find all the resources mentioned during the episode in the show notes, including the article where Nora and I explain in more detail how the Grid Aware WordPress plugin works, and also the plugin repository in case you want to test it. I would love to hear your opinions on this topic. For that, you can leave a comment on the website or share it in the social media platform you are more comfortable on. And if you think that the episode could be interesting to a WordPress colleague, please share it. Stay curious. Bye-bye.